I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
All right, we are back. What's going on, Zach? 2 weeks in a row now? What's up? What's going
back
on?
At it.
How you doing, man? How's it going?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Good, man. We are going to go over, there's a bunch of new free agent signings, a couple of trades that happened. We have to get to that. We're also going to get to a little bit of a dynasty rookie preview. We're going to go over what those top, you know, six, seven picks are looking like to me right now, like kind of definitive for the most part, especially super flex leagues. A little bit of a preview for dynasty running backs. We are coming out with the dynasty rookie draft kit coming out very shortly. We're both working on that, working very hard on that right now. That's going to be out very soon. But, you know, we just want to kind of go over a lot of these signings that just happened. A couple big ones. I know Zach is very excited for one particular signing, or actually trade, I should say. Why don't we just go ahead and hit that right now, dude? Brandon Cooks. Traded to the Cowboys for a fifth round pick 2023 this year and a sixth round pick in 2024. I think I got that right.
Yes, that's right. And like you said, it feels like a signing because that's like nothing. When you talk about capital moved to acquire Brandon Cooks, this is perfect for both parties. Like Brandon Cooks gets to be off the Texans. When he signed that contract down there, I think it was it a 2 or 3 year contract originally with Houston? I was like, he's going to get tired of it so quick, because they're not going to be contending anytime soon. And that happened. And Dallas was actually offering a third round pick for Brandon Cooks before the trade deadline last season. So this is a huge deal for them. He's going to be a fantastic wide receiver too for them. He's not DeAndre Hopkins. That's what a lot of Cowboys fans are saying. They're upset about it, but I'm cool with Brandon Cooks. He's a really nice compliment to CeeDee Lamb. You know, DeAndre Hopkins would have been more of a 1B to CeeDee Lamb's 1A, but Brandon Cooks, he could be a nice wide receiver too. And he does it all. So I'm looking at a huge upgrade for him, especially from a fantasy perspective. You talk about where he was in Houston. He was pretty much not relevant, not only because the quarterback situation is terrible down there, but also because he just didn't want to play. He was missing time, not just because of injury, but also because he was holding out at that point. So this is a great deal for Brandon Cooks and the Cowboys. It's going to be really nice. I think that Brandon Cooks has definitely wide receiver two upside going into next season. I think he's going to be a really solid wide receiver three play and moving into 2023 as things stand right now.
I think so. I think you hit on a lot of good points. I mean, Brandon Cooks, he still got it, man. He's still a very good wide receiver. Matt Harmon just did a recent profile on receptionperception.com on Brandon Cooks, and he's still cooking. Okay. And he's looking,
as his name
would imply. He's still a good wide receiver. So as a wide receiver too in Dallas, this is great news for him. Again, you mentioned two things. Number one, quarterback play. Absolutely terrible. Number two, no motivation. Like every single week, it's almost like we had to wait until Brandon Cooks decided that week whether he wanted to play or not. And a lot of those weeks where his quote-unquote wrist was hurt, I don't really think that was the case. I think it was just a lack of motivation and the team going to shit. And the Texans, you know, wanting that first overall pick. But, you know, Lovie Smith had other plans. He's a true bear at heart, right? Giving that to the Bears, and the Bears went ahead and got a haul for that. So thank you, Lovie Smith, if you're a Bears fan. So I think this is a great signing, a great trade for Dallas. Like honestly, with the draft capital they gave up, I think this might have been the best possible scenario, and I'm including a potential Hopkins trade. I'm including a potential OBJ signing, because you're getting like, yes, is there a drop off from Hopkins to Cooks? Yeah, but you were probably going to give up maybe another two rounds ahead of what you gave up for Brandon Cooks. You might have given up a third round pick for Hopkins, and you would have had to pay him more as well. Yeah. So I think this is a great situation. I think Dak can, you know, keep Brandon Cooks, you know, relevant. Michael Gallup is unfortunately dead for fantasy. He was borderline dead last year. And, I want to hear it, Zach. Zach has something to say here about Michael Gallup.
I would say maybe not. And I'm optimistic about Michael Gallup for a couple of reasons. One, last season he looked bad. He was coming off that ACL. He wasn't 100%. We had higher hopes for him, but he just wasn't there. As a wide receiver, too, that's not his place. But if you remember, way back in 2020, when Michael Gallup was wide receiver 3 on the offense, when Dak was playing, too, he was very relevant. He had over 1,000 yards, if I'm not mistaken. I think 7 touchdowns. He was the second leading receiver, I think, on the team. So he's going back to that role, essentially. He's not going to be working with the top corner because, you know, CeeDee Lamb runs in the slot most of his routes. He was outside playing the top corner, coming off an ACL this season. It looked bad. It's going to be a completely different scenario this season. He'll be on the outside, not drawing the top coverage. Brandon Cooks could potentially pull that top corner while CeeDee Lamb continues to operate out of the slot. He'll be looking at cornerback 2, cornerbacks further down the depth chart covering him. I think we could see a little resurgence here because this offense clearly is going to be good. I don't think they've gotten worse at all. So I think that with Mike McCarthy calling plays too, it'll add a nice layer of complexity to it that's going to make it more difficult for defenses to handle. And I think Michael Gallup could be a bigger part of the offense than he was last season, especially with Kellen Moore out.
What about from a fantasy perspective? Do you see yourself potentially starting Gallup as a flex play, you know, next year with both of those wide receivers healthy?
I could see him as a flex play. I want to see how he looks, obviously. I won't be starting him week one as a flex play, but I'm optimistic that he can get to that point this next season. I'm not sure he's going to get there, but I'm definitely optimistic. So I wouldn't just like drop the ball. Like you said, he's dead. I don't think he's dead just yet. I think we still have a pulse and we could get him. He could get back to relevance and actually be somebody that you start in your flex spot. I think that is kind of his ceiling, but he could be a really strong flex option on a week to week basis, depending on how things shake out. But I think that him returning to that role that he played in before and he actually excelled in could actually do him some good.
I think Cooks will potentially garner, you know, a 22-23% target share. CeeDee Lamb potentially 26-27% target share. And I think Cooks has wide receiver 2 upside on this offense next year on a weekly basis. Quarterback upgrade, offense upgrade, all that. So I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be fun. We'll see what the Cowboys do, if they want to make any other moves. They just traded away Dalton Schultz. They didn't trade away Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz was a free agent. But they did not re-sign Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz went over to the Houston Texans. You know, this is a situation where I have a feeling you might be a little bit of a fan of Jake Ferguson. Am I right? Like, do you think that Jake Ferguson can potentially, you know, turn into a productive tight end in this offense? Because if you do, we're looking at 4 decent, like a group of 4 good pass catching options for Dak Prescott,
right?
If you're not counting Tony Pollard,
and he's a good pass catching option too. Now, for me, I think you know that I'm a fan of Jake Ferguson because I actually, if you were paying attention to the Cowboys account when Dalton Schultz signed with the Texans, I put out a post that said, "Breaking, it's Ferguson season." So, you know, it's cool. It's time for Jake Ferguson to get his opportunity. The only thing that might stand in the way of that is Dallas could draft a tight end. And a bunch of people have been mocking Dallas to draft tight ends, which would be terrible for Jake Ferguson's stock, obviously. So we'll see how that goes. Are you trying to make an argument that there's going to be too many mouths to feed in this offense? Are we bringing this back to Michael Gallup, or what are we talking about here?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I think it's pretty much guaranteed that CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks are going to eat.
Yeah.
After that, as far as the receivers go, you know, it could be a little iffy because there might be too many mouths to feed for guys like Gallup and the tight end and Pollard. But listen, at the end of the day, I was a fan of Michael Gallup. You might be right. Maybe he wasn't 100% last year, full year to recover. Hopefully he could kind of regain some of that form that we saw in the past. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I could see the the Cowboys draft a tight end. Now, when do they draft a tight end? In this particular class, it's tricky. So if I were the Cowboys and I'm looking for a tight end, I would draft a tight end because this is the class to do it in. Now, does that mean that rookie is going to get opportunity year one? No, probably not, because that rarely ever happens. But I think this is a scenario where it's possible that, you know, Ferguson can get his shot, and we'll see if he's running a route on majority of dropbacks. That's like the main thing we care about with tight ends. And if that's the case, then he has a shot to still be a top 12 tight end, a tight end one this year, even if there's, you know, quote unquote, too many mouths to feed.
Right. And like we've talked about the tight end landscape the way it was last season and going into even this season being barren. So he definitely has that opportunity. But it kind of reminds me of the Albert O situation in Denver last season, where it was like this athletic tight end, hadn't had a whole lot of playing time, low draft capital. If I'm not mistaken, Ferguson was like, I think it was a sixth or seventh round pick. So this isn't a fantastic option, you know, as
Ferguson
far as, you
know, Ferguson was a fourth round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me think. If I don't know my own team's draft, that's pretty bad. But
yeah, round four. Yeah, okay, 129. Yep.
Still pretty low. But, you know, it just reminds me. It reminds me of Albert O. Just because he's athletic. I hear that. We saw the play, and we saw the same thing happen with Albert O. He had some splash plays, and we just got to see if he gets used. I think he's going to be utilized as long as they don't draft a tight end. But if I know my Cowboys, they'll take a tight end. I just have a feeling.
Well, listen, Ferguson was relatively efficient last season. He only had, you know, a handful more than 20 targets last year, but top six in yards per route run. It was Okonkwo, Chigozie Okonkwo, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Mecole Pruitt, George Kittle, and Jake Ferguson, Dallas Goedert, TJ Hockenson, Kyle Pitts, Pat Freiermuth. So, you know, he's surrounded by some good names there. So if you extrapolate that efficiency, he could potentially get it done with more targets. So that's kind of what you're hoping for if you're a Cowboys fan and if you want to depend on him for fantasy. I as of right now, he's somebody that you should be taking shots on in best ball, in underdog drafts. Even when the draft comes around, even if the Cowboys do end up drafting a tight end in the third, fourth round, he's still worth taking a shot on, because like that third, fourth round rookie isn't going to see the field a whole lot, most likely. So,
right.
Still somebody if you really love Jake Ferguson, you hope that the Cowboys do take a tight end that early, because then that will potentially suppress Jake Ferguson's draft ADP just by a little bit in drafts in this season. So I think it's, you know, it's worth noting that he could do some things this year. We know that Dak Prescott likes his tight end. He specifically liked Dalton Schultz. But even when Dalton Schultz got hurt in the past, we've seen, you know, Prescott look at the tight end's way, especially in the red zone.
It's been that way for Dak's entire career. When it was Witten, you know, when he was a rookie, and then Blake Jarwin for about 2 years in between when they were bridging to Dalton Schultz, and then Dalton Schultz, he's just a tight end targeting quarterback. So I think whoever plays tight end is going to have plenty of targets to go around. But Jake Ferguson's the first athlete that we've had at tight end in a long time.
Agreed. Dalton Schultz. And that's why I don't love Dalton Schultz in Houston, because I think Schultz was a little bit of a product of his environment. You know, he had a quarterback who loved throwing the tight end. He's not a superior athlete. You know, that's what you really want out of tight ends. He's gotten better after the catch, but lately he hasn't been. You know, so like in the beginning of his career, he wasn't an after the catch guy. Middle of his career, he was an after the catch guy. And then after, with his injuries lately, he has not been an after the catch guy. So what is Houston getting? They have a quarterback issue, obviously. We'll see what they do at the position there. But it's risky. You know, they have other tight ends behind him, like Brevin Jordan and some other guys who could potentially eat into his routes, right? There's no guarantee that Schultz is getting 100% of those routes. So Schultz is not somebody I'm super interested in next season, even, you know, if it's a late round pick. Like, you know, even if Schultz is going, like, let's say two rounds after Jake Ferguson, I'd much rather take the shot on Ferguson personally.
Oh, yeah. No, we talk about upside all the time on this podcast, especially with fantasy. You know, Dalton Schultz, I'd say, has like zero upside on the Texans. Where you look at Jake Ferguson on the Cowboys, it's going to be a much better offense. He's an athlete. Dalton Schultz isn't. Dalton Schultz is probably going to be working with a rookie quarterback. Not probably, definitely. Like, it's just not lining up. I'm looking at a season for Dalton Schultz. It's going to be like maybe 400 yards and four touchdowns. He might have 1 week where he shows up on the radar. He'll make number 16 on our waiver wire list, and then he'll go away again. So I feel like that's going to be the case for Dalton Schultz. It's just not a good situation for him. He actually got screwed because he had an offer sitting on the table, I think from Dallas, a multi-year offer. And he turned that down and he failed to cash out. And now he's just signing pretty much a prove-it deal with the Texans.
Was that a mid-season offer? I think it was.
It might have been a mid-season offer. I didn't hear about it during mid-season. I heard that Dallas actually gave him an offer leading up to free agency.
Oh, I see.
And that he turned that down because I think he thought he was going to get more on the market, and then he didn't. So
brutal.
I think that that's the best case scenario for Dallas. I didn't want them moving to get him back at all. You know, I think that Jake Ferguson needs to be brought into the light for fantasy football. That has to happen.
Man, that's brutal. All right.
Yeah.
So the Texans is making more news. They signed Devin Singletary there, right? So Damien Pierce has a little bit of a running mate here. Now, I will say that Damien Pierce is a lot better than Devin Singletary. I never thought Devin Singletary was a great back. I honestly think he was relevant because he was on a great offense on the Bills, an offense that no team ever expected them to run the ball. When they did, Devin Singletary was able to be efficient in terms of yards per carry, but not so much yards after contact, missed tackles forced, stuff that he actually has to do himself. He wasn't really that guy. So I don't think this really affects Damien Pierce a whole lot. Now, we have to keep in mind that Damien Pierce is a fourth-round running back. He's a day-three running back, which means that the Texans have not invested a whole lot in Damien Pierce as of right now. And if history is our teacher, we know that those type of running backs can be replaced, despite them having a great rookie season, which is why if I can get a first-round rookie pick for Damien Pierce, I will do that. Now, this year, if I am in a situation where I have a win-now team, I might not do that. I might keep Damien Pierce, depending on what kind of – is it a late first-round pick, that sort of thing. But I'm totally digressing here. Like, just turn into a dynasty conversation. Meanwhile, we're trying to talk about Devin Singletary. But I'll say this. There is a possibility that the Texans take a running back on day two to complement Damien Pierce, maybe a pass-catching back. Maybe someone like I always say Kenny McIntosh because like he's like the guy
that's your pass
like,
catching back. Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like the guy who's like good enough on early downs, but really good as a pass catcher. Let me think. Maybe Evan Hull, like super late, you know, someone like that. They can get in the fifth, sixth round. Maybe someone like Eric Gray potentially from Oklahoma could potentially do something like that because they kind of need somebody who can fill in on third downs, a good pass blocker, you know, who can fill in for Damien Pierce. Damien Pierce is a good pass blocker, but do they want him to play an every down role? I don't know. That's to be determined. If history's our teacher, probably not. They probably want somebody. And this was another regime, you know, in terms of coaching staff that is, you know, is dealing with this draft compared to last year. Right. So, something to keep in mind. Are you looking at the Singletary signing as anything significant more than I am?
I don't think so. You know, Devin Singletary, he got a little bit better last season in terms of pass catching, and Damien Pierce wasn't pass catching running back. You know, so maybe they brought him in as insurance. I think this is just like a filler signing to make sure that they're not left dry if they don't get a guy that they want in the draft. You know, they're just going to bridge him in. They're going to bring in Devin Singletary. And then if they have to roll with him, that's fine. They'll use him. If not, they don't have to. You know, they can cut him if they want. It's going to be interesting. I think this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I like Damien Pierce. I think that he can handle three-down workload. But we'll see how that goes. I think that Devin Singletary, if he does end up, you know, playing through and being on the team come the season, I think that he's going to get some touches. I think he's going to vulture those touches just enough from Damien Pierce that we're going to be sitting there thinking, is Damien Pierce or wide receiver two? Is he RB2 this season every week? Every week is be like, are we going to rank Damien Pierce in our top 20? I think that's the situation we're looking at. Damien Pierce, I think he's going to have his weeks, but Devin Singletary, I don't think he's going to have his weeks, but it's going to be that vulturing situation where he's not going to be a consistent fantasy starter, but he's just going to be dragging down Damien Pierce. So I don't like this signing from a fantasy perspective at all.
Of course.
But it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, the hope is that it's just a depth signing. That's the hope. But, you know, Singletary was a starter this last year, and it's possible that he does work in a little bit. But, you know, his deal wasn't all that crazy. It was a one-year deal, so nothing.
That's why it doesn't scare me. If it was like a two-year deal, that would be something. Yeah. But one-year deal, this is just, like you said, depth. They're not going to try and play him a ton, especially not over Damian Pierce.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.